Good morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. As I said at the beginning of the service, today we are going to start walking with Jesus in a different manner than the last year. You know, to date we have really studied Jesus' daily life, his interactions with those around him, both the common man and the religious leaders. We've seen him perform miracles and wonders. He's answered his critics. But today, and for the next number of weeks, we're going to start walking through the parables, focusing on the parables of Jesus. And one reason to do this is because for many, the parables of Jesus may be some of the most beloved Bible stories. You know, besides maybe an Old Testament story or a psalm, sometimes some of these parables are some of the most beloved and best known stories in the Bible. And that's because the parables tend to strike us where we live. So we're going to join with Jesus and walk through for the next number of weeks the parables that he taught. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, dearest Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you again for the enlightenment you give to us, the knowledge, the wisdom that you share with us as we learn more about you, as we fall more deeply in love with you, Lord, as we see the truth of your word. And so as we begin to walk through the stories, the parables that you taught, bless us in this endeavor. And again, enlighten us as we go. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get into the parable, I just wanted to talk through a little bit of what they are, you know, because they are a very distinctive feature of Jesus' teaching. And they're found predominantly in the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, what are called the Synoptic Gospels. And typically, they were simple accounts meant to convey spiritual truths and moral lessons. They reveal some of the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, especially to those who are open and willing to understand what they say. I mean, as we read here this morning in our gospel lesson, in Matthew 13, 10, 11, the disciples asked why he used parables, and Jesus says, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." Parables have a dual function. They enlighten those who are truly seeking God and who are seeking to understand, but the meaning, the deeper meaning, is often hidden from those who think that they know enough, who think that they've got it all going on. In fact, this dual function of the parables, you know, fulfilled this prophecy from Isaiah. "You will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. With their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Now, God is not in the business of turning hearts away from him. But he is saying, many have already turned their hearts away from God. And they might be able to hear if they would let go of their pride, if they would realize that they do not know it all. They cannot do it all. They cannot be all, right? Because we have a lot of that thinking going on. Once people recognize that they may have some shortcomings, they're more open to hearing different ways of speaking. They're more open to hearing God's word. That's why the humble, or at least the humbler, are those who can hear the message of the parables. Matthew specifically states in Matthew 13:34-35, we'll cover this verse next week, but Jesus spoke in parables to fulfill another prophecy that we read this morning from Psalm 78, when he said, "All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables, indeed he said nothing to them without a parable to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world." Jesus parables engaged their listeners and they prompted them to reflect on and ponder their meaning and what they meant to them. It encouraged active participation as Jesus taught profound moral and ethical lessons. You know, the things that make the parables so easy to understand was they were relatable scenes. Everyday scenarios, familiar images. But they, as Jesus spoke, they required the audience to think more deeply. And they end up facilitating a deeper understanding of complex spiritual issues. So the parables challenge examiners or listeners to examine their own lives and their own behavior. You know, the Good Samaritan was about love and compassion extending beyond what we think our circle of love and compassion should extend beyond, right? If I draw the circle of love and compassion, you guys would be in it, but maybe not much further, right? And God's like, my circle of love and compassion is way beyond yours, Eric. Or the prodigal son, right? How God's repentance and his grace are boundless. Forgiveness is yours for the taking. The mustard seed depicts the expansive and transformative power of the kingdom of God. And then the other parables that we'll walk through that have issues of judgment and accountability, warning of the consequences of rejecting God. All of these parables talk about the kingdom's humble origin and its beginning, and the eventual and pervasive influence it can have in people's life. So that's what we're going to be focused on this week. Because the purpose of the parables, again, is to communicate the truths in a manner that's accessible to everyone, especially those with open hearts. And sometimes the meaning is veiled to those who are unreceptive. But in veiling it, God gives them another sign of grace because he doesn't heap up more and more condemnation on their hardened hearts. They just hear a story, right? Think, oh, that's a nice story. God shows mercy in so many ways. And this parable is one of the ways that he helps people see just how merciful and loving he is. So we begin in Matthew 13. It's found on page 818. The parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. The whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables. Again, we're reminded Jesus wasn't just, you know, confined to teaching within the synagogue walls. Because there were people who wouldn't enter synagogues, right? There are people who won't enter churches. Jesus went wherever the people were, wherever there may be a receptive audience, in the streets, sitting in a boat, speaking so he could be heard better, into their homes, right? It's interesting, as I read this, I came on this comment by Charles Spurgeon who commented, "The teacher sat and the people stood. We should have less sleeping in church if that arrangement still prevailed." You know, I was thinking, maybe we should try that out this week. I'll just pull up a chair and you can all gather around, but no, I'll continue on. So Jesus said in verses 3-9, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path. The birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. Immediately they sprang up, but since they had no depth of soil, when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And other seed fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Now, in Jesus' day, seed was scattered, and then it was worked into the ground or plowed into the ground, we think about it. And so Jesus said this sower went out, and he found four types of soil. The path, where people walked, and it had gotten tramped down and was now hard, so nothing grew there, right? That's why paths are so nice to walk on. They're clear of any growth. The rocky ground, where there was just a little bit of soil over the rocks, that the seed could grow, could quickly germinate because it was so warm, but then it's unable to take any root because the soil's thin and the underlying rocks. The thorns grow in fertile soil, right? But they're aggressive. We all know the aggressiveness of weeds, how they take over the nice part of the lawn or the nice part of the garden, choke out the good plants. And then the good soil, it was fertile and weed-free, and it would produce a good crop. At the end of this, Jesus had said, "He who has ears, let him hear." So this is Jesus' call to all spiritual seekers. Those who don't think they have it all going on, but might be seeking to know more about our Lord. Verses 10 to 17 we had read as part of the gospel lesson, so I just want to paraphrase a few things, but touch on a few points here. So the disciples asked, "Why do you speak in parables?" And Jesus says, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. To the one who has, more will be given, and he'll have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them.' But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Now again, those with humility are able to perceive or might perceive God's wisdom and spirit in the words that Jesus spoke. But the proud would never hear it, would they? So the parables were sly enough that if one realized they might be wrong in their pride, they actually could start to let this story have an impact on how they lived. But again, the prideful will never see or hear. One of the scariest statements that Jesus spoke in these verses, though, was, "For the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." You know, when we live in our pride, we value all that we have, right? And it's not just material possessions or wealth. I mean, we can get prideful even in ourselves, right? Our looks, our charm, our wits, our abilities, whatever it is, we can take pride in that. We've all been there, right? We've got it going on and we know it, right? But Jesus warns us, when we have Him, we have true riches, riches that will never be taken away. Because think of people we know who have gathered and gathered and gathered all sorts of things to themselves in this life. As the old saying goes, there's never a U-Haul following a hearse, right? We don't get to take it. It's meaningless at the end of the day. So everything they've accumulated, everything they've strived for, is gone at the end of the day. It's all taken from them. But when you have Jesus, the material things don't matter. They make our lives more comfortable, but we will have even more abundance in heaven because we will be with Him face to face. And so those who have will be given more, and those who have not, even what they have is taken from them. When you really ponder those words, those are scary words. And finally, Jesus tells us how blessed we are because we get to see and hear and know all these things of Jesus that those who lived prior to His birth could only long for, right? We know of His miracles. We know of His salvation. We know of His blessings. And we'd be lost without this truth and knowledge, wouldn't we? This is why the abundance we have, even more will be given to us. So we'll finish up today by reading the explanation that Jesus gave us in verses 18 through 23. We read, Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of God and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for that sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself. He endures for a while, but when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it proves unfruitful. As for that sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Jesus is very clear in his explanation here, right? The path, that hardened soil is like hardened hearts that either don't want to or will not believe the word that Jesus speaks. You know, you can tell people about Jesus, but it doesn't seem to yield anything. It doesn't seem to register, right? It doesn't penetrate into their heart, and it's quickly gone. The rocky ground is those, again, that receive the word with enthusiasm, but soon wither, Jesus said. The enthusiasm is short-lived. Jesus even warns that they can't endure tribulation or persecution because of the word. You know, tribulation is a general term for suffering that comes from outside. We've all suffered tribulation. These various illnesses that we're diagnosed with, these various financial hardships that arrive out of nowhere, those are tribulation. Persecution is deliberately inflicted hassles that we deal with, right? And usually those are religiously motivated. When we were in Thailand, you know, one of the things, people would accept Christ, but then their families would reject them. Jesus is seen as a tool of Western people or a Western God, not an Asian God. And so families rejected those people. And again, we're reminded as we walk this walk with Jesus, the world hates us because it first hated Jesus. You know, and people enthusiastically grab hold of the Word of God when they hear about it. When people realize the blessings that are come in Christ, they grab hold of that. But sometimes we sell Jesus as a cure-all for things. Jesus is there for the difficult times. He doesn't stop the difficult times from happening, right? We've all lived those hard times in our lives, and we can never make them fully go away. Even when we think that if, oh, I win the lotto, all my financial hardships will go away, I still have health, I still have loved ones that I long to see do things. You know, there are all sorts of difficulties that we face in life, aren't there? And Jesus is there for the hardships, not just so we can avoid them. And then the thorns, that fertile ground was there, but Jesus says the thorns represent the cares of this world and the riches, and they choke out the good seed, don't they? Wealth, comfort, ease, right? The American dream, those are all ideas or things we hope to achieve to make our lives a little bit better. But we can get caught up in even just achieving, right? That can become our God. We can put our main focus on, oh, if I just achieve a little more. And these things all vie for our attention. And they draw us away from focusing on the things of God. So Jesus warns us, these things, while they're good, they can be blessings, they can also be things that choke out your faith. And then the good ground, right? The seed that brings forth a crop. When the word of God penetrates these hardened heart of ours, and we start to see that it's like, oh Lord, I thought I knew so much, and I know so little. And he bears fruit, and we begin to see that it's not about us, but it's about God and doing his work. And as we see this change, whether it's in ourselves or our friends or our loved ones, you know, those are such great blessings. We benefit from seeing Jesus explain this parable because we have all been those different types of soil, haven't we? There have been times in our life when we are like, Lord, not right now. I've got to handle this. Whatever, you know, you're trying to tell me to do, I'm going to do the opposite because I got to do it my way. Or those times when I've been enthusiastic about doing some new venture for the Lord and it gets snuffed out before it even takes flight, right? Or the cares and the concerns of the world have overwhelmed me and I've taken my eye off of the Lord. And then there have been other times, and they've been short-lived, when I grow in the good soil, right? And maybe produce a crop. But again, we all have lived through each one of these different types of soil seasons in our life. One of the things about the parable, though, is the same sower sows the same seed all over the world, right? The difference is the soil in which it tries to take root. Good soil can be found anywhere. Even a hardened path, right? If it's worked a little bit, can be loosened up and become soil that bears seed, doesn't it? Or bears fruit. And so there are three things that we all need to be as we look at this. We need to be good soil in which God's word takes root. We need to be providers for other people and their soil, right? Watering, helping clear weeds when we can. And we need to be tillers of soil in the areas where we have an influence in others' lives to help soften up that soil so the word of God can take root. This parable is a reminder of encouragement to all of us because God has sown his word freely, widely distributed throughout the world, and it takes root in many different places. So there will be a harvest. It reminds us that the Lord is the one in control here, not us. But it's also a reminder that even good corn can grow in very small plots, right? It doesn't have to be a 100-acre field. It might just be 10 foot by 10 foot. But where the receptive heart is, God's word can take root and bear fruit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, dearest Jesus, Holy Spirit, again, Lord, we thank you for your word, for these parables, so that we can see, Lord, how you work, how your kingdom works. And Lord, we ask you to help us be open to bearing more fruit, listening to you, hearing you tug at our hearts and saying, yes, Lord, I'll step out to do whatever it is, whatever you're calling me to, in faith. Thank you again, Lord, for your love and your grace and the salvation and hope that we have in you. Amen.